Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From Lower Manhattan, the center of the financial world, this is Money Talking from WNYC. Good morning. I'm Jeff Greenfield, joined by our contributors Joe Nocera of the New York Times and Rana Faruhar with Time Magazine. May 1st, May Day, is the day millions of high school seniors must decide what college they'll be going to. And to pay for it, many will join one of the largest debt pools in America and sign up for a student loan. Loans that total, by the way, some $1 trillion, more than outstanding credit card debt or auto loans. That burden has already triggered some protests here in New York City and also raises a chilling specter. Joe Nocera, May Day also happens to be the international distress call. Should we be raising one now? Can you compare and contrast this rather large loan debt with the mortgage bubble, say, of 2008 that almost destroyed the financial universe?
Student loan debt is a real problem, but it is not a bubble. It doesn't work like a bubble. Think about how the housing bubble worked. It was an asset, your home, that had become wildly inflated. And everybody in the system, from the homeowner to the banks, lost their minds and just thought that this asset could only go up. And when it stopped going up, the bubble collapsed. Student loans are completely different. They are being used to go to college. There is no asset behind it. And more importantly, you can't walk away from this debt ever. So you are saddled with it for the rest of your life. And the real problem with student loan debt is not that it's a bubble, but it drags down the economy because people coming out of college, young people, they get married, they can't buy a first house, for instance, because they're saddled with this debt, or they can't save, or they can't do other economic activities. And so that's where the problem for the economy lies with student loans.
Did the folks at the banks chop up these student loans into these wildly complicated financial instruments the way mortgages were chopped up back in 2007, 2008?
Yes, they did. But even that's different also because student loans fundamentally are federally guaranteed. So there's no risk for the investor ultimately, and investors don't really have to worry about whether they're going to get their money back because they will.
Okay. Now, Rana, we posited that this coming weekend, all these kids are going to be trying to figure out where they go, and they're also going to be trying to figure out how do I pay for this. So if you are advising a future college student, if they could pay for this college with any other method, with savings, with a lot of Christmas presents, with their parents' money, would you advise them take out a loan or try to avoid it?
I would say definitely don't take a loan if you don't really, really have to. One of the reasons that the U.S. is doing better than Europe right now economically is that we got our personal debt down and we've been able to spend a little bit more. At the same time, these kids are going to come out into a job market that's still very depressed. And studies show that when you enter a depressed job market with double-digit unemployment rates, your salary is lower not just for a year or two but for your lifetime. So you don't want to be saddling yourself up with a lot of debt right now when you may not have as big of a salary as you thought you would in the future.
Joe Nocera, is there any chance that in the wake of this massive debt that the rules might change?
Well, it's certainly not going to change anytime soon, not with politics being the way they are. And the rules right now are incredibly onerous. I mean, let's be clear here. The federal government, if push comes to shove, will garnish your wages. So will private companies that you borrow from. What the federal government also has done, though, is you can go to the government, you can get extended payments, you can get different kind of payments. But what you cannot do is walk in and say, I'm only going to pay 30 cents on the dollar, because they will say no.
For most people, most high school seniors, when they decide next week where they're going to college, they're going to post that news on Facebook. And Facebook is kind of facing its own sort of graduation. It's going to become a publicly traded company in a few weeks. Rana, I know moments like this are usually causes for celebration, but is it possible that Facebook, in a sense, may be seen by some prospective investors as having peaked already?
Well, I'm seeing investors talk about whether the Facebook IPO might be a high watermark for tech stocks in particular. Valuations are not where they were in 2000, but they are high. What interests me more is, you know, as Facebook goes forward, where's the value being created? Where are the jobs? I see a lot of jobs at the high end. I don't see too many in the middle. And where's the innovation? Because Facebook is not too much into mobile. Mobile is how the rest of the world connects, and that's where a lot of innovation is coming from.
So, Joe, we realize with a $100 billion valuation, we're not exactly talking about, gee, Facebook is so early 21st century, but is there a reason why that company, which didn't exist 5 or 6 years ago, should actually be thinking of itself as matured?
You know, I'm not that worried about Facebook. They're not mature the way Google is. They're run by a 28-year-old young man. In truth, if Mark Zuckerberg, the CEO, could have kept them private, he probably would have. He's almost being forced to go public. You know, investors are going to invest in it, and they're going to just watch how Facebook tries to monetize, tries to get to mobile as it continues to broaden its reach. I'm not worried about Facebook at all.
Okay, so we have decided no telethon for Mark Zuckerberg in the near future. Finally, we're going to look ahead to next week with our contributors, Joe Nocera, Rana Faruhar. Rana, what's on your radar screen?
I'm thinking about China's Watergate. There's a huge corruption scandal going on in China right now at the very top of the Communist Party. It's threatening to bring the party down. We've just seen allegations that half of the party is wiretapping the other. There's a chieftain, Bo Xilai, who's been put under house arrest and maybe thrown out. The reason we should care about this, aside from the fact that it's movie-style drama and just a scintillating tale, is that what happens is going to tell us where China's going in the future. Is it headed back towards another cultural revolution and a lot of repression, or is it headed more towards democracy?
Wow. What did the premier know, and when did he know it? I can't wait for the coverage.
I'm working on
the TV. Joe?
On Tuesday, Robert Caro's fourth volume of his monumental biography of Lyndon Johnson, The Passage of Power, is going to be published. He's been working on this for 38 years. It was originally supposed to be three volumes. Now this is the fourth, and we haven't even gotten to Vietnam yet, so there'll be five and possibly six. It is one of the really magnificent journalistic achievements of the last half century. But I think about it in a somewhat different way. It will fly off the shelves, even though it's over 700 pages. And his publisher, Knopf, has never gone out of print with any of the previous three books, nor has they've ever gone out of print with The Power Broker, his magnificent biography of Robert Moses. And so, you know, Caro's become a bit like an annuity for his publishing house. And the New York Times Magazine recently described him in a highly complimentary fashion as a dinosaur. But I think economically, he's the little engine that could.
You know, for those of us who are enthralled by that series, there's an old Polish song, May You Live 100 Years. And every time Caro publishes a book, I want to sing that song to him.
Well, he's going to need to if he's going to finish.
Well, thank you, Rana. Thank you, Joe. We'll be watching those stories and all the week's financial news at WNYC.org/business. I'm Jeff Greenfield. This is Money Talking from WNYC. Thanks for listening.